Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. AI report with Brandon Weikert of National Interest, who is very helpful to me because he sees the part of the market of AI I get lost wandering around war zones and don't look to the future. Brandon, a very good evening to you. My contribution to our conversation is NVIDIA blossomed this week in its interest in data centers. $100 billion devoted from Jensen Huang's NVIDIA to Sam Altman's OpenAI to build data centers, the scale of which we can only imagine at this point. Big stuff. Now, they can build all that, but it matters where and what their resources are.
Yeah.
What can you tell me about that story of rollout in America? Because there's manufacturing centers for cars, there are steel plants. There are certainly plenty of opportunity for oil rigs and oil processing. And then there's the big stuff, the telecommunications centers. There's even computer servers that maintain the cloud. What does that data center mean compared to all those others? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me as always. The issue right now is one of a bottleneck that's occurring because for AI to really kind of mature into the technology its proponents want it to become, which is sort of this everything for everyone all the time system, it needs to have increasing levels of computing power, which requires larger and larger data centers, which in turn require a lot of real estate and a lot of energy and a lot of water for cooling towers and whatnot to keep all those systems working right. And right now the bottlenecks are forming in the water access, the land access, and the energy access. And so NVIDIA's investment is part of, I think, a larger move by the entire industry to try to grow this infrastructure out. But it's also very important to note that NVIDIA is not the biggest spender in investing in these things. Clearly, NVIDIA is trying to pivot and expand its own market share, go beyond just chip production. And also, they're saying, because of these investments, John, NVIDIA could be a $10 trillion company by the end of the decade, by 2029, which I find to be astounding. But the bottlenecks are going to be the thing that every single one of these investors keep running into. How do they overcome the energy, water, and land requirements?
I'm told water is absolutely critical because when you go inside one of these buildings, you're lost in space, row after row of servers, but all of them cooking. It's very noisy and they're very hot. They must be cooled 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It cannot go down. They need backup generators to run the electricity, but there's no substitute for water. And is That's right. Fresh water? Is that what you told me, Brendan? Fresh water?
Yeah, well, basically, it sounds like it's drawing on potable water supplies, which are finite. And the reason I say that is because there's been a handful of recent examples, most recently with Indianapolis, where a community in Indianapolis has prevented a large data center from being built precisely because it was going to cause the water prices for the people in that community to go up because of the increased usage from the AI data center. So they are pulling on potable water, which, as we all know, is limited and finite. And therefore, there's going to be a real contention there between the needs of people and the needs of these data centers.
Right now, Congress is getting involved. There is that old superstition that says no one's safe when Congress is in session. All right. So your contribution to this, what I can contribute is that a young fellow from the University of Texas Law, he's a law fellow, testified to Congress about state regulation of AI, federal regulation of AI, and being cautious about states reaching across their borders to regulate somebody else's concerns. So 50 federal governments and more will have their own regulatory struggles with AI. What is Congress most interested in to your reading right now?
Well, they're most interested in keeping their big donors happy, and one of their largest funders are the tech bros, the broligarchs, as they're so called in the media. That's all the people running these AI firms. So this is why in the Big Beautiful Bill recently, there was the controversy stirred up by Marjorie Taylor Greene about language that was inserted at the last minute that basically would have prevented states from basically enacting their own regulations upon tech sector operating in their state, notably California. The federal government said they're going to regulate that differently than usual state federal divide. But this is going to continue to be an issue because obviously a state like California is going to have very different views on AI and tech development in their state than, say, Texas or Florida would.
The legislation in hand right now is the CHIPS Act, I believe, and one big, beautiful bill. That's about building plants here in order to protect them that can't be protected overseas. Is it more than that now, CHIPS Act? Is it growing?
Well, the idea primarily is to get those fabrication facilities back in the United States. And the reason is because it's a security one. 90% of all of these high-end chips that we all rely on are made in Taiwan. And obviously, Taiwan is a big target right now for China. And so if there's any disruption to Taiwan's output of those semiconductors, the entire international economy very much grinds to a halt. In fact, some have said that America's GDP growth over the last year and a half alone can be contributed almost entirely to the AI sector. So if they lose access to those chips, and so this is why they want to bring those chips back home. The problem is with the CHIPS Act is it was only $52 billion given to this project, and there's been a lot of false starts with it and not enough money given to the R&D side, for instance, and there's a lot of workforce shortages, as we're seeing with this debate over H-1B visas, whether we should have them or not. And so all of this is conspiring to stymie the CHIPS Act, which is why they're talking now in Congress about a CHIPS 2.0 Act.
The bubble. Let's momentarily spend 30 seconds on the bubble. The bubble talk is everywhere on Wall Street. You and I pay a great deal of attention.
Yes.
There were no profits in the dot-com bubble, none whatsoever. The companies we're talking about make all the money there is. In fact, this is a trillion is now commonplace for these companies.
Yep.
If that's a bubble, we've never seen one like that before, have we?
No, there's nothing comparable. And this is another reason why if they were to China were to somehow cut off access to those high end chips in Taiwan, it could pop that bubble and it could have a Great Depression effect on the world because the AI sector is driving so much of this economic activity right now.
But it's not falsehood. Now, my week with AI, I've added Gemini to my suite. I find Gemini as charming to talk to in the evening while I'm podcasting as Ara of Grok. Mm-hmm. Claude doesn't charm in the same fashion. Claude's much more of a bookish type. And that's perhaps how I use Claude as a copy editor. But there are limits to the information that Gemini has, and I was surprised by it. I was questioning the energy nodes for the telecom center that China Telecom has built in Inner Mongolia. I wanted to know what energy sources. I had to question several times, like an interrogation. I also wanted to know about security. Were there any military divisions nearby? Either China's cutting them off, or they've decided to cut themselves off from that kind of information. Can you tell at this point? We have 30 seconds.
I believe China's probably cutting themselves off about this information. This is pretty common for something that they would do. And then again, though, you are right. Google in particular has a history of self-censorship when it comes to dealing with the People's Republic of China. But in this specific case, I don't think China's going to be openly sharing such information with any foreign search engine or AI.
Brendan Weichert, National Interest, writing National Security. His show is on National Interest Radio. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Help! L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.